Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's Upwork.com/save. Upwork.com/save.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we cover the stories that the mainstream media largely ignores, the stuff that gets censored. I saw a story today we're not going to talk about it on the show, but holy smokes, I saw that YouTube is now actively deleting videos that question what's going on in Ukraine. Like, they're just going in and just deleting them from your account.
Okay, so how are we going to do this Ukraine story and stay on the air? I mean, carefully, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah, David Phillip, is there anything we can do? I mean, I guess other than we just got to tread carefully, walk on eggshells, I guess. That's the problem, is that we don't know. They're going to go and just delete the crap.
We need another name for Ukraine.
Right. Something else. Yeah, we should call it another country. That way we can start referring to it as Iceland. And then if we say Iceland, then that people like then YouTube won't like censor us.
Okay, that sounds a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
And we're asking our viewers to pay too much attention, but we hope you are paying attention. Remember, we have a free newsletter. It's called Morning Invest. You can sign up morninginvest.com, and it gives you all of these stories plus more. It's a bit more cheerful, I would say, than the show that you're on right now.
Don't but say hey, that.
You don't think?
I don't think it's any more cheerful. I mean, we had the first story was about, well, yeah, I guess.
Anyway. It's like, it's intended to start your day off, right? Okay. So,
all right.
you don't like
and,
that.
And as a bit of housekeeping, for some reason the live is not live on Rumble. So,
why not?
Oh,
so I'm trying to work on it, but it's just playing that intro loop. So,
oh no.
Okay. Well.
Well, we apologize. We're live everywhere else. So we're, yeah. But we'd like to be live on Rumble. I'm not sure why.
Working on it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Is David here? I know he was.
I don't know if he's joining later or not. He had to pick up a prescription. He's not any better. Like, there's been no change. It's still like.
Oh,
really
he's
bad.
Still sick. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he's got a pinched nerve issue. So.
Go to the acupuncturist. That's what I always say.
Some yoga. All right.
All right.
All right, let's start with the show. Let's start the show today, and let's talk about what's going on in Ukraine. So members of Congress continue to push for greater involvement in the U.S. involvement in Ukraine. Some, like Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who we talked about here on the show, have called for us to basically all out just use nuclear war. Like, hey, we just got to use nuclear weapons to stop Russia, as if that's not crazy enough. So then over the weekend, we have Delaware Congressman Chris Coons, who is Joe Biden's self-appointed lackey, his replacement for his Senate seat, who is out of Delaware. And, you know, if you're a warmonger like Joe Biden, and you have a history of warmongering like Joe Biden, you would want to replace yourself with an equally sycophantic warmonger. And that's exactly who we got in Chris Coons, one of the most powerful senators in the United States government. He took to the Sunday show, and he was specifically asked about U.S. troop involvement on the ground in Ukraine. And she gave him an opportunity, I think, to clarify his position on this. But now this growing chorus of members of Congress who are calling for U.S. boots on the ground. Listen to Chris Coons from Delaware. If I can actually hit this button.
Clayton's mouse is...
This mouse never works.
In some public remarks this week, you said... the country needs to talk about when it might be willing to send troops to Ukraine. You said if the answer is never, then we are inviting another level of escalation and brutality by Putin. Are you arguing that President Biden was wrong when he said he would not send troops to Ukraine? Are you asking him to set a red line?
Margaret, I think those of us in Congress who have a critical role in setting foreign policy and in advising the president in terms of his decisions as commander in chief need to look clearly at the level of brutality. This is a moment of enormous challenge for all of us. And I deeply respect President Biden's leadership in pulling together the West, in imposing crushing sanctions on Russia, and in bringing to this fight countries that had stayed on the sidelines before. I think President Biden's leadership has been steady and constructive, but this is a critical moment. If Vladimir Putin, who has shown us how brutal he can be, is allowed to just continue to massacre civilians, to commit war crimes throughout Ukraine, without NATO, without the West coming more forcefully to his aid, I deeply worry that what's going to happen next is that we will see Ukraine turn into Syria. Mm-hmm. The American people cannot turn away from this tragedy in Ukraine. I think the history of the 21st century turns on how fiercely mm-hmm. we defend freedom in Ukraine, and that Putin will only stop when we stop him.
But what did we do? Thank you for mentioning Syria. Syria is still pretty terrible. So what are we going to do about that in the meantime, right? It's like, oh, that's a sunk cost. You know, people's lives were torn apart. The country's torn apart. That's fine how that is, right? And so we don't want that to happen. We did let it happen. But now let's just not let it happen again, even though our marching orders are the same. Like there's a flawed logic there.
Well, there's a flawed logic all through Washington. I mean, that we are going to send U.S. boots on the ground, U.S. forces. By the way, let's not even pretend that we don't already have U.S. forces there. We already know, as we reported last week here on the show, French journalists who've confirmed that U.S. soldiers are there. In fact, directing traffic, leading the way when you come in and you're joining up forces there. They're in charge. And journalists are saying that's exactly what's happening there. So maybe we can just get over this like facade that U.S. troops aren't really there. But this would be like a full on. Here we go. We're going to have an invasion force, basically, of U.S. troops.
Because well, it does feel like they've been warming us to it. Right. And so the Pentagon has been refusing to set up this no fly zone while politicians continue to push like, actually, we think it's fine. And then some boots on the ground. Well, we originally said we wouldn't do that, but now we think it's kind of fine. Nuclear weapons pointed towards us. Let's point it right back. We think that would be fine. So it does seem like it's sort of inching its way into full invasion when we were told that it would only be monetary support and support with weapons, right? Which I guess we're all supposed to think sounds better.
I don't know. Here's Chris Coons, though, by the way. Here's what Glenn Greenwald points out. Chris Coons is a 58-year-old. He's a graduate of Yale Law School with a $10 million net worth. He never served in the military. He has three children, all 18 or older, yet none of them serve in the military. So when he advocates that the U.S. send troops to fight Russia in Ukraine, he means other families.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very easy to say, and this is how U.S. wars are fought in the United States now, because we don't have a draft, right? So, you know, it's not a sampling of every American has to go to fight war. No, it's conscripts. It's people who who decide to volunteer to be in the army, or to be in the military, who otherwise don't have access, perhaps, to upwardly mobile opportunities in their life, right?
Right. Well, to one end, though, I mean, over the last week, media theorist Noam Chomsky has given an interview, which people sort of are up in arms about, because he talks about how the United States has a history of aggression and arming the bad guys and pretending like they're doing right when they're doing wrong. It's very gaslighting to the whole world, really. And so what will come of this, right, when we send people to die there for something that we won't really get what we want anyway, which is Russia to disappear from that region and for the Western imperialism to just make itself at home there, like sit down comfortably on the couch in Ukraine and spread their own ideals and money and guns and debt and all of those things, right? So I guess What the problem is here is that you can think Russia is doing a bad thing by going into a country that it was not welcomed and enacting violence on people who do not want them there. Yes, but you can also think that the United States is doing a bad thing by sending copious amounts of weapons and money into a place that does not have an active military anymore, that is now military and civilians. And to what end?
I mean, never did I think we would live in a world where pushing for peace, you know, saving us from World War III would be mocked online by like blue check liberals, people who've changed their Twitter avatars to have a Ukrainian flag in their Twitter, Twitter handle. I got into an argument on Friday with a guy who literally.
A Twitter argument?
Yeah, I mean, he literally jumped. I was making an argument about the New York Times being caught again reporting fake news. And this guy with a Ukrainian flag in his Twitter handle says, "Well, man, I can't understand how you went full MAGA. Like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about New York Times reports a fake story, is caught again lying, and you're calling me MAGA. Like, what the hell are you talking about? It's this whataboutism." And Noam Chomsky was asked about this. He says, "We're in this world now where if you challenge." These things, these ideas like of World War III or using nuclear weapons, it's what about Hitler?
Yes.
Or what about, and then it completely defeats the argument. I never thought we'd live in a world where you have to like defend that you don't want World War III, and that's yet what we have right now. Something interesting did unfold this weekend, and it just goes to show you like what's truly going on in Ukraine.
Well, someone in the chat says, well, what do we do then, right? And in this interview, Noam Chomsky makes the point that we could negotiate, give Putin something we don't want to give him so that he actually removes himself from this area and people stop dying. But we don't seem willing to do that. The West has already dug its heels in and seems to have a policy of we will fight down to the last Ukrainian, which costs lives that are not ours. Right.
What he did this weekend, I mean, is interesting. I mean, what he did in this interview with Current Affairs magazine, I'll put up here. I encourage all of you to go read it. Do not do what so many people on Twitter do, which is they don't even know what the story is and they jump on the bandwagon of criticism. They don't know what they're talking about. Read the whole interview because it really gives you a broad understanding of his thinking, the way that Noam Chomsky has thought about anti-war for his whole life. It's a really great interview. I encourage you to go to read it. Don't fall victim to what some of these Twitter blue check marks do. But anyway,
I wanted to also point out.
Oh, David.
Sorry. I also wanted to point out that no matter what, like if you counter any of these mainstream narratives, you're automatically right wing too. I've seen it. It's like you're automatically a right wing person if you question the narrative. And that's another bad thing that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, yes. You see this with Russell Brand and Joe Rogan, who are they're not right wing at all. I mean, they're left. But who cares? You know, they're suddenly labeled this way. Well, what happened is that Noam Chomsky told the truth about the war, basically, this weekend. He's an esteemed professor. He's an anti-war activist. He was interviewed in this Current Affairs magazine piece.
He's a media theorist that media students have been studying for decades. I myself had many semesters of Chomsky.
So he basically said the U.S. position is to use Ukraine as cannon fodder to further its aims, and that we will have to, quote, fight to the last Ukrainian rather than pursue peace. Oh, no, he didn't. Did he really just say that? Did he really just tell the truth? Exactly what we've been saying here on this show? Like, that's what's going to happen.
Because
Ukraine will be leveled. Everyone will be killed because we are fighting this proxy war.
Because why else would Western powers be refusing to speak to Putin? He's willing to speak to Macron. He is willing to speak to Western leaders, right? But we won't do it. Why, right? Why not just speak? And when asked about it, Biden was like, I can't deal with that guy now. He's irrational,
yeah,
right?
Peace? Forget that. I can't do it. I got too much war to deal with here. I can't be speaking peace.
Right.
So, I mean, all of this posturing is hilarious. And so people flipped out about it because of that specific quote where they said, you know, we will fight to the last Ukrainian, that's what the U.S. position will be rather than pursue peace. All these people flipped out on Twitter. and had a bunch of different things to say about it. If I can get my fucking mouse to work, sorry.
Easy.
Noam Chomsky, that right-wing Noam Chomsky guy.
Noah Smith says on Twitter, Noam Chomsky is very eager to surrender on behalf of a country he'll never have to set foot in. Notice the bunny rabbit and Ukrainian flag and blue check mark. Let's see, what else do we had here? Oh, here's another one. Sorry. I have a bunch of tweets that I can't all of a sudden find now. Damn it. Sorry. Oh, yeah, here we go. Chomsky is Elon Musk for leftists. Whatever that okay. means. Here's another one. Yeah, what? Here's another person supports Ukraine with the Ukrainian flag. I'm going to say it. Since folks been saying it about a woman 5 years younger than him, Chomsky's brain is deteriorating. Probably has been for a while, and he should retire from public life stat.
Okay, listen here,
Yeah, listen here, DT.
Okay, I have a problem with that because when you read this article, it reads to me as something that all of us should aspire to. Chomsky is in his 90s, right? He has kept a close eye on the media for decades. He has trained hundreds of millions of students who have read his work and aspire to have that kind of global context. And he is saying that, look, I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of wars come and go. I know what people in power say in order to garner support for their war. And I know that war usually ends up being something that was drummed up for other people's causes. And people get hurt for following those causes. And he also says, I have seen enough people in American politics act on their own behalf rationally, but violently, specifically Nixon, who said, like, go blow up everything in Cambodia, right? He was, and so we should all to aspire to be that guy after decades of living and paying attention that you realize, I mean, he comes off to me not as at all senile, but more like a Marcus Aurelius at the end of his life. Like I've seen a lot.
Right.
I'm battle tested. This will not end well. And in fact, I was reading a Substack by someone named Freddie DeBoer today, mm-hmm. Who talked about, like, what is the crime of Noam Chomsky saying these things? That, look, guys, this usually plays out this way. Is we kind of like get ourselves. Is this the one that I?
Yeah, Freddie DeBoer. Okay. This is what you're referring to. Says, I think supporting Ukraine in 2022 has become like supporting the troops in 2002 because people are desperate for a morally simplistic contest in which the goodies will nobly defeat the dastardly baddies. Americans grow up surrounded by World War II nostalgia and feel denied their birthright of ethically uncomplicated and heroic wars. And by the way, so Noam Chomsky then was this weekend, he was on, he did an interview with The Intercept, kind of following up on this current affairs interview, and he was asked to sort of clarify some things. And he says, look, there's only two ways wars end. Two ways. We've never yet had another way. Listen to his response.
It's not quite the right question. The right question is, what is the best thing to do to save Ukraine from a grim fate, from further destruction? And that's to move towards a negotiated settlement. There are some simple facts that aren't really controversial. There are two ways for a war to end. One way is for one side or the other to be basically destroyed. And the Russians are not going to be destroyed. So that means one way is for Ukraine to be destroyed. The other way is some negotiated settlement. If there's a third way, no one's ever figured it out. So,
right?
Right.
I mean, does that sound like a senile person? No.
Yeah, I definitely thought that was his absolute senility. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's totally demented, right?
Well, this Freddie DeBoer in his Substack, he says many American observers will grow frustrated with the lack of progress, meaning that we can cheer for and click many headlines that shows Ukrainians pushing Russia back, but it's not, they're not being pushed back far enough for us to think rationally about it as if, like, it's an intruder in your house and you just give them the guest room. That's not how this is working. And so Americans will grow frustrated with this lack of progress, find their attention pulled elsewhere, eventually quietly scrubbing the Ukrainian flag from their social media bios for fear of appearing behind the times, right? So eventually we'll get tired of this because we don't keep up outrage over Syria or Yemen or any of these places. The fickle American imagination will turn to other things, and the future of Ukraine, even in an optimistic vision where they resist any substantial permanent capture of land by the Russians, will still be unsettled, still saddled with a weak central government, endemic corruption, a virulent strain of ultra-nationalist, far-right sentiment, and the consequences of now being stuffed full of foreign arms and ordnance. And I, for one, still feel like the fact that because you may have lived in Ukraine when this happened, you had to be separated from your family if you were a man of fighting age. And men were not given the choice, right? You have to stay and fight for man-made borders and man-made ethnicity. And we don't care that your family will go away for you. And these are the things we all should, as humans, be given choices about, right? And there's no outrage on behalf of those people at all.
I think if the media would cover this like they covered Vietnam, because they covered Vietnam showing pictures of caskets coming home with flags on it. People were invested in that war because the media was all over it. They had a million people show up protesting the war because we knew what was going on. And right now it's like they hide everything, and when they do cover it, they cover it like it's a sports show where they're covering the power of the Jets and this and that, and they make it all, you know, fantasize for people that are into that kind of thing. But it's like they don't cover it in a way that lets us know exactly what's going on, because if we knew,
right,
nobody would want it.
Well, we learned our lesson about how to cover wars, right? Now we don't show the body bags. We learned our lesson with the Iraq war, right? We tie yellow mm-hmm. ribbons around trees, and we don't show. We don't show the bodies coming home. If we do, we have the president at Dover Air Force Base doing like a little meet and greet and once in a while. But for the most part, we don't see that anymore. It's a prophylactic war.
Well, that and like when, you know, like with where they sort of went during the Iraq war, where they started making like, you know, the rock music montages of like our jets and stuff like that, to where it became like that sports, you know, like get hyped about this war kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the propaganda was just.
It's the America, F yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's really disturbing to me. I mean, I don't think we said enough about the Chris Coons interview this weekend. I mean, you have a sitting U.S. senator, ranked 15th, one of the strongest U.S. senators, who is actively saying boots on the ground, American soldiers, you can say it however you want as NATO forces in Ukraine. Like, enough is enough. Enough of these people being sent off to be killed for your proxy wars, for the military-industrial complex, for us to further some ridiculous imperialistic aims. And there's enough people. I mean, the responses to him were amazing on Twitter. Look, good for him. It's what should have happened weeks ago.
Good for Chris Coons.
Yeah, good for Chris Coons. Let's, you know, here's another one. Kate Clemency. It's about time someone got courage. Sunflower. Thank you. Yeah, it's about time someone got courage.
I mean, but is it courage, right, to surround China, for instance, as Noam Chomsky says in this interview, with countries who are sort of at our beck and call that we can infiltrate with weapons, right? So if China acts up in a way we don't like, we'll know that now Biden doesn't use the word. What is the word?
I don't know.
Covered or something. He uses instead the words I don't remember the words, surrounded or something like that. Like we place weapons. Or it's like a guy who just goes and like pumps up his muscles so that maybe he won't have to feel pain. Right. That's right. What the United States is like. Like if we just have enough weapons, if we just have enough, you know, cyber weapons, if we just make ourselves strong enough, then you're safer. And the rest of us are just, we have to accept that because we're tax-paying Americans and that's the way of things, right? We get no choice.
That's right. That's how we do it. And, you know, Chris Coons, warmonger taking over for warmonger Biden, and that's what you get.
Well, don't stand for this, then, you know, you should take a good look at what you're, it does have bipartisan support. you know, whether you like it or not, it's right now Democrats war.
Yeah.
Yes.
War and U.S. Involvement and sending more. And by the way, like I was going to show this, like this is not reported at all. But here are some videos surfacing just last night, you know, in the Donbas region where hundreds of American Humvees and tanks and other weapons have been found. These are all American Humvees, clearly American Humvees being basically like, stripped for parts. There in the Donbas region, and these are Ukrainian soldiers who are there taking these different things apart. Again, how think about the amount of American equipment that's there, just pumped into this region, just sitting there.
Like, well, and think about how they do this now. They don't paint it as war anymore because like the American people that are on board with this, it's because they feel like they're part of a humanitarian crisis. You know what I mean? Right. So they don't yes. paint it as this is a war. This is a humanitarian crisis. This over here is a humanitarian crisis. We got to help the people of Venezuela get food. We got to help the people of Ukraine from Russia. So it's like they don't even call it war anymore.
No, and it's so, and it's also, and if you speak out about it on social media, you'll be censored. We had the story. We kind of talked about it before the show, but it's now been confirmed that YouTube is actively just deleting videos that question sort of the NATO narrative about what's happening in Ukraine. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like you have reporters who are actively on the ground saying, no, what we're seeing here is different than this narrative you're getting. Delete, like YouTube is deleting this stuff.
Right.
This is what people are getting. This is, you know.
Well, yeah. did you see that story of that journalist that's missing?
No.
There's a journalist that's been covering this stuff very accurately from the ground, and they feel like he was probably because he was supposed to be on a couple of interviews over the weekend and he never showed up, so they're thinking that he's been taken by Zelensky's squad. Yeah.
All right.
And he was doing a lot of really great coverage on the ground for us.
Well, we'll try to get that story here on the show tomorrow if we can. We got more news to get to here today on the show. We've got before the show, Natalie's like, oh my God, we've got a lot of stories today. Well, yeah, it was a busy weekend. We were off Friday.
This is what happens when we take off Fridays. We got to catch up.
But even, I mean, so much stuff happened yesterday, so we're going to get through it. I want to get to the latest on the COVID mandates. There's a couple of really interesting stories, both on mask mandates that just happened before we went to air here tonight on mask mandates, what's happening in certain cities with masks and COVID restrictions, what's happening in Shanghai. We've got a lot to get to. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify. So Shopify is the all-in-one e-commerce platform. And I love the sound of that cash register. In their app, like when it goes cha-ching, if you use their app, you can actually set it so that like every time you make a sale, it gives you a little cash register sound. Makes me smile. It's the all-in-one commerce platform to start running your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere. Entrepreneurs like myself, you get the resources reserved for big businesses that now you can use right on Shopify. Like years ago, you think, oh my God, you'd have to be like a multi-million dollar company. No, now Shopify democratizes the internet and shopping so you can build your own custom website however you want to be able to sell your wares right there on Shopify. It's a must. They have a great online looking store that brings your ideas to life, all the tools to manage your day-to-day and drive sales. Shopify powers over millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience at all. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day, gain knowledge and confidence with extensive resources to help you succeed. Plus, they've got 24/7 support, so you're never alone. It's more than a store because Shopify grows with you and expands as you need it to. This possibility is powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/morninginvest. So we have that. That's the URL. You have to use the Morning Invest. Shopify.com/morninginvest. All lowercase. To get a 14-day trial, get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/morninginvest right now. Again, shopify.com/morninginvest.
Well, just before we went to air, a federal judge in Florida has struck down Joe Biden's mask mandate and the Biden administration's mask mandate for masks on all public transportation. That included buses, subways, and airplanes. The judge in the federal district judge, Catherine Kimball Mizell, said that the mandate exceeds the CDC's statutory authority and violates the procedures required for agency rulemaking under the APA, referring to the Administrative Procedure Act, which was written to make sure that the executive branch follows protocols when it issues warnings such as these. Now, just last week, the Biden administration and the CDC said that they were extending mask mandates on public transportation until May. They cannot do that as of right now. This minute. So if you're listening to us on public transportation, you are allowed to take this off. Now, the Justice Department may appeal the order, but that doesn't mean that masks will have to go on unless the Justice Department asks for a stay while they appeal it. But for now, it seems like it may not be.
Well, and starting today, certain cities across the United States are going back to the ridiculousness of wearing masks, and citywide. Certain states are going back to making sure that kids and teachers are wearing masks in schools, something we know. We now know, I mean, absolutely, we've covered it here on this show, is horrible for a children's learning experience, right? When you're developing language, you need to be able to see a teacher's mouth to understand how to put words together, right?
Well, and it's unnecessary fear in the kids. Like, they're so scared they're going to get COVID. You see kids still wearing masks and walking around because they're so terrified because the propaganda worked on them.
I see it in my kids, and I see it in, you know, my extended family's kids as well. I mean, like, they were here visiting and over the Easter break, and like, they're just like nervous to even outside. They're like nervous to take their mask off. Why do you think they're nervous? It's not because they're, it's because this is what parents and schools and these mask mandates have drilled into these kids' heads. And it's sad.
Well, also, I think they're just very adjusted to the world with it. You know, so much, you think of my five-year-old, half of her life has been the pandemic. And so she's just, that's the way of the world for her. It doesn't seem to her like unusual the way it does to us.
But this whole battle over masking is going to make Dr. Fauci's head explode, because it seems right now that this sort of irrational love of like federal mask mandates, they're going to continue to push this. And these federal judges are going to continue to step in and say, the CDC does not have the authority to do this. Like, pushing these extensive mask mandates on people when the science doesn't back it up. So let's go through this now, because there's new data out on the CDC's website. So we need to be very careful about this. God forbid we get yanked down or censored once again here on the channel for telling the truth.
If we get our hand slapped.
But Dr. Fauci's head is going to explode about this. So on the CDC's own website, in fact, newly published data showing an extensive report going county by county by county across the United States for those counties that have mask mandates in place and how they're like the effect of COVID. And it turns out the data does not lie. The data shows these mask mandates didn't work and they don't work.
By work, you're saying they do not prevent the spread of COVID, because if you look at the orange line is for counties that had no public mask mandate. The blue line is for counties that did, and they track according to viral outbreaks, not at all with mask mandates. In fact, in some places, the orange line is lower than the blue line, right? It sort of goes back and forth. But this, if you removed it, the Omicron outbreak would look the same. Now, this is not, it controls for population, because I saw some idiots on Twitter saying, well, it doesn't account for some places like DC where we have more people. Yes, it does. This is cases per 100,000 people, right? So it doesn't need to control by density of population. That seems like it wouldn't matter.
Well, yes. And I just want to say, because I see some people in the chat kind of pointing out what I want to get to next. So you guys are ahead of me here in the chat, but that's, you guys are great. So the CDC's data, to Natalie's point, it shows that it doesn't track with these outbreaks. The outbreaks happen. It doesn't matter if you have five masks shoved on your face. The data now shows that if you wear one of these N95 masks, okay, The Atlantic has a good piece about this. One-way masking actually works. One-way masking. So if you're vaccinated, boosted, and wearing an N95 mask, you're protected, no matter what others are doing. So this is incredibly important. So if you want to prevent yourself from getting sick of the flu or any kind of other norovirus or anything else you want, put on an N95 mask. You know what the N95 masks are, right?
Yes.
They're those like real thick ones that like cover, you almost look like a...
They
like,
come to a point. They almost look like...
Yeah, they're really uncomfortable, you know?
I can barely breathe in those for, like if I had to wear one of those for like an hour or two, there's no way.
Yeah, and they're not comfortable. They're hard to use. Certainly you wouldn't want a kid wearing one of these things for 8 hours a day. And this is, by the way, why most people in the medical profession, I've seen at least, they wear the surgical masks because these things are too cumbersome, right? So yes, the N95 mask works for you.
This but how is could very, that not be important. Detrimental too? Because like think about it. If this is a virus, right? So you're breathing it in, that's how you're getting it. But if you have the mask on and you're breathing it in, let's say you do breathe some of it in, but then you got the mask on, you don't actually breathe it out. You just keep breathing it in, exhaling it, breathing it in. You know what I mean? It's almost like it seems counterintuitive with a virus to wear a mask.
Well, the studies show that the N95 mask will prevent it from filtering in the first place, right?
Right.
But this is just the N95 mask because as the study points out, if you're vaccinated, boosted, and wearing a well-fitted N95 mask or similar indoors, I'm quoting now if you're listening to the audio, your risk is extremely low, says Joseph Allen, a COVID and ventilation expert at Harvard. I mean, he says there's not much else in life that would have as low a risk as that. I would qualify your risk as de minimis. An N95 mask filters 95% of airborne particles, but two surgical masks, one worn on me and one on you, filters only 91%. So think about that for a second. If you are wearing a surgical mask and you're wearing a surgical mask, it only works with 91%.
Yes.
And so you're not... Again, if you want to wear a mask to protect yourself, by all means, do it. The point I'm trying to make here is the mandates don't work. Because what you're doing is now you're saying, you need to wear a mask in order to make sure that you're protecting, keeping that person
other
from getting
people, sick. It's the right.
exact same argument
As
they tried
Lady
to make
Gaga
with the vaccine.
Said, wear a mask, it's a sign of respect, right? She said that when she accepted some award at the beginning of the pandemic. Okay, right. And so the idea was you are trying to not infect other people. And I was one of those, you know, sort of this is the way kind of tweeters when people were like, I don't want to wear a mask. You know, I even had a friend who was from Kansas and was like, what does it matter if I don't wear a mask and I'm infecting myself? Like I'm taking that risk myself. And I was like, yeah, but you could be giving it to other people. And she's like, but those people are wearing masks, so what does it matter? Turns out she was right, I was wrong, right? So everyone else who is concerned can continue to do so. And I want to say should do so without mockery. I don't think that it's for us to say like, oh, look at you, you're still scared. And sort of totally minimize someone else's fear. That's wrong.
No, and that's totally up to somebody. Like if someone is worried about they're immunocompromised, if someone is worried about their own, they have comorbidities, they're worried about their own health, put on an N95 mask and you should have about 95% protection against airborne particulates. But we also found out apparently these masks didn't stop Omicron. So even the data shows that it didn't matter if you were wearing these masks or not, Omicron still got through. So yes. Again, if you want to do it for yourself, great. But
they
when
the same
federal
argument.
Government steps in and wants to make this a mandate so that you're protecting everyone else and you're lowering the risk, we have the data now on the CDC's own website that it didn't work and it doesn't work.
Yes. I'm also concerned about that. Okay. I'm concerned about these children, too, whose parents continue to make them wear a mask when the mask mandates are lifted, because those kids can get subject to ridicule and bullying. And I feel like it should be a safe space for us all to do what we believe, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, David. Well,
and I was just going to say, they use the same argument with the vaccines. I remember like everybody said, if you're not getting vaccinated, you're making all the rest of us unsafe. But it's like, no, if you're vaccinated, the way that they told us initially, I'm talking, if you got the vaccination, you were totally safe. The people that didn't get it, we were taking a risk, right? But now we found out later that it really didn't matter, just like masks. It's all falling apart.
Yeah. Yes.
Robert, really quick. Robert Hoyt with a $5 super chat said, problem is most people do not wear N95s correctly. They need to be fitted.
Yes.
Yeah, great point. I mean, most people wear them where they don't even pinch the nose thing closed. You know, they're just kind of open. I mean, I've seen people wearing these just like ornamental fabric masks that don't do anything. And I mean, they're just wearing them for like, I don't know, to show that they care. Like we had a tour recently with our kids and the tour guide, we were outside. She was wearing one of these like
Like the mesh
mask. Like the mesh masks that you could see her through. It was just like, I'm like, why are you even bothering with this? And I kept telling my kids as we were going to different spots, I'm like, take off your mask. I want to take a photo. Stop wearing that stupid mask.
Yeah, we were outside the entire time. And where we live in Portugal, mask mandates have not been repealed at all. Masks are mandatory in every indoor space, although I notice, less enforced these days, but never repealed. And so if you look at some of the charts of case outbreaks in Portugal, they just track with the outbreaks, Delta, Omicron, XE now, right? And the masks have not prevented Portugal from following the natural outbreak of every other place in the world. And they're still there. Like, we still need them to go to the grocery store. You don't have a choice.
And what's crazy about these schools, too, is like, you know, these schools are putting in, now U.S. schools are starting to use smart cameras to target students that don't have face masks on, like to target them as they come in. A U.S. school district with 95,000 students switched during the pandemic to using a swarm of automated surveillance tech to identify children who showed up at school without wearing a mask. Swarm, swarm, swarm. They'd come up to you. Same thing is happening at airports. This one I don't get at all. This one makes no sense to me. So at airports, you're starting to see, they're starting to roll out these, they're called SCOTs, Security Control Observation Towers, like at Dallas Airport, where they talk to you. Watch this. This is freaky. And this reminds me of, like, what are the things from, like, Doctor Who? The Daleks or whatever that's,
yeah, the Daleks.
Know? Yeah. This is like what, I mean, this is the kind of scary crap that they do at these airports. I mean, these things are actually pretty frightening. Listen to how it talks to you.
Field Airport. All Ubers, Lyfts, taxis, and rental car shuttles are located on the lower level. To access the lower level, please use an escalator or elevator.
And it, like, it moves around, and, like, you'll see these things, like, shoot, like, looking at you. Oh, you don't have a mask? And they'll, like, alert security to come make sure you've got a mask at the airport. Why would they spend all of this freaking money on this thing when, like, we've got, like, 2 weeks left for airport, for, you know, mandates at airports?
Well, we don't now that it's struck down pretty much right away.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But the fact that these schools, like, have these, like, surveillance of children targeting about these face masks, It's ridiculous. I find it ridiculous.
It's interesting. My daughter still wears hers, even though she doesn't have to, because she likes it, because she doesn't have to, like, it hides her face. And so she's 15. So she wears it, like, as literally as a fashion accessory at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my son does too. Like, he's like, oh, it kind of keeps me warm. I kind of like it. And the one time he ended up having, like, a cold sore, and he's like, ooh, I get my mask. So it, like, protects me against, you know, from people seeing my cold sore. Yep. Like, okay, I get it.
If I was still suffering acne, though I am a little, I got an outbreak this weekend. I was all about that. And I had a mole removed on the end of my nose, and masks were great during that time because I actually had, like, this. So, you know, I get it. I think we should make it a safe space for people like your daughter, who decide to keep it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is becoming, we got to talk about Shanghai and really disturbing imagery coming out of Shanghai. And it's becoming increasingly difficult actually to get accurate information from the horrible lockdowns in Shanghai, China, if they're not being censored. That's because social media companies are hiding or downranking videos that call attention to what's happening in Shanghai. WeChat, for instance, has censored audio for assistance. I'm going to pull this picture up here if I can of this WeChat story, where they're censoring audio from an elderly man who is asking to see a doctor. He's asking for, so this has been censored, like you can't share it on WeChat. It's been blocked. People were sending it around, and then WeChat steps in and deletes it. He's just one of many Shanghai residents that don't have access to food or medical care. And when they take to the streets to ask for help, they're turned away by all of these people wearing these, like, white lab coats. Have you seen this really frightening stuff? They're all wearing these, like, white lab coats. And locally, people are now referring to them as big whites. Big whites.
They look like stormtroopers.
Yeah, they do. And they're especially like stormtroopers when they beat you with a stick because you want to go outside. And they tell you, you know, hey, get back inside. These people need medical assistance. We don't have food and we're just going to beat you. And or worse, get taken away where, you know, no one can see you anymore. These people are saying we need food. We need medicine. We want to get some air. And by the way, you've killed all of our pets. So now we just want to go outside. Now watch this video. It's really amazing because as they realize like, oh, maybe our safety here. And so they start actually taking off these stormtrooper costumes because they realize like we might be targeted. Like, I guess people don't like us. We're supposed to be here for your safety. We're going to beat you in the head with a metal rod. But now they start stripping off. Watch this. They start taking off their clothes and hiding these suits because they're like, you know what? I don't want to be seen because they're going to come after me now. It gets worse. Look at these. This is just a woman going outside. She's getting beaten through a line.
I mean, they have no food.
Yeah, like, they have no food.
They don't have, you know, basic necessities. They live in high rises. They cannot grow or access anything natural. You know, Shanghai just today announced 3 official deaths since the citywide lockdowns. There were 3. But the victims were aged 89 to 91, and they all had underlying health conditions. Now, of course, that's 3 deaths too many. But at the same time, look at how people are being asked to live to prevent deaths of people in their late 80s and early 90s with pre-existing conditions, right? So that does not give you the idea that this is justified because this is harm being done. Look at this person banging their head on the sidewalk because she can't get out to feed their families. The one mom that was in the bun and the cute shoes earlier holding her baby, right?
Like, right.
I got to feed my baby. I'm sorry. You can beat the crap out of me, but we got to get out of this house.
I mean, it's really sad. They're saying like, you know, this guy, this 82-year-old man who's like pleading for help, for assistance from local officials. He's like, he says in his audio, I can't stand it now. I finished all of my medication. My throat hurts. My temperature is going up. And they told him he can't get his medicine and they can't handle it because they're overwhelmed with requests. Another person says, one of the locals in charge of the neighborhood said, today I tried to send a pregnant woman to the hospital. Today I'm dealing with an old man who just died. I have done what the neighborhood committee can do. I've also done what the neighborhood committee should not do. So what can I do? This person says, I don't know, he tells the old man.
Wait, are you allowed to get out if you go into labor? Can you break that sticker?
I don't know. Like, what do you do? Like, if you're pregnant, you're going to you want food, you want medicine. Watch out for the big white stormtroopers who are going to come beat you. Again, this sort of zero, this is, you know, this is the focus. This is the zero COVID policy, right?
I mean, I do not think that you can stand for Ukraine and not, you know, and stand for this. Like,
no, this
we
is the thing.
Have to stand for all of it.
And you won't hear the criticism. That's the whole hypocrisy here, right? So Western media is in lockstep with the profits they make from China. They're not going to criticize China. They're not going to criticize what's happening in Shanghai. You heard Dr. Fauci the other day. Mm-hmm. Dr. Fauci's like, you know, I think it's good what they're doing with these lockdowns. And would never happen here. But I think, you know, these lockdowns are good. You know, it's a way to really tamp down the virus.
Yeah.
Which is total garbage, as we now know. You know, but censors blocking videos of protests. Like, if you want to post videos of these protests, you'll be blocked. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube does something to our videos here. We know that.
Stop saying that.
We know that YouTube is in cahoots with and loves to cater to the Chinese government after, you know, reestablishing itself with the Chinese government after saying that they were going to move their servers and everything to Hong Kong. They
went right back. In fact, when Google thought that they could sort of help out, bring, you know, a more fair and educating internet to China, realized they couldn't and removed themselves from China and then slowly went back in because it was too tempting, right, to those types of profits.
What's amazing is the city, according to the data, has only reported not Shanghai, has only had 9 cases, severe cases of COVID. Can you imagine?
They're going to have a severe case of a concussion from this.
So what do you value more? People being able to live, get food, be able to go to the park with their children? Or, you know, such a draconian lockdown that you literally have 9 severe cases of COVID. 9 severe cases. I mean, making the lockdown as draconian as possible, where these people can't go out and get food and can't get medicine. You know, they don't have any medical care. They have medical care, they can't come to their house. They can't do any of that.
Yes, we should stand with Shanghai, all of us. This is terrible. Speaking of people that we stand with, a new mandate in the United Kingdom says that any asylum seekers will now be sent to Rwanda. They literally had a press conference in Rwanda today where they have decided that anyone who is in the UK seeking asylum currently will be shipped off to Rwanda. It's really interesting when you read the coverage of this, because human rights activists are saying Rwanda, they don't have the right, you know, they don't have the best record, track record when it comes to human rights abuse, but okay, maybe they've changed. But the no national media coverage of this new policy to ship all asylum seekers to Rwanda has juxtaposed this with the fact that Ukrainian asylum seekers can stay put. They can stay there just fine. Now, there are millions of people who work their butts off to cross frigid waters, stay in camps where there are rapists and killers and people who take your kids for human trafficking, right? But they somehow survive all of that, and they get to the United Kingdom hoping to get asylum, and now they're being told, you can't stay here. But what is the current situation for Ukrainians? Well, the EU has granted Ukrainians who flee the war a blanket right to stay and work in its 27 member nations for up to 3 years. The UK now also has a visa scheme, so if you can prove any relative there, you can stay there. And they also have launched Homes for Ukraine, which allows people in the UK to nominate an individual or family to stay with them for free. That person will get around £300 per month from the UK government. And the asylum seeker will get 3 years of healthcare, welfare, and schools. 29,200 families from Ukraine applied for this by the end of March, which is lovely, right? It's great. Give somebody who's left their country a home, but not if they're brown, apparently, because anyone else who is currently there will be shipped off to Rwanda.
I mean, just think about the hypocrisy of this, right? Like, you get a guy like Boris Johnson who's going to dictate and tell you he's going to funnel billions of dollars and, you know, in weapons and support to Ukraine to prop up through a proxy war, you know, the Ukrainian government against Russia. And when these people are fleeing this country, we're going to, by the way, destroy your country in the process. OK, so Ukraine, you will be leveled. Like, we got the reports today out of Mariupol. There's no city there anymore. It's gone. It's gone. It's leveled. So these people are leaving Ukraine so that the UK and the United States and other NATO countries can fight their proxy war using your. It's like, can we use your backyard? My parents are going on out for the night. Can we come over to your house and have the party? Because I don't want to ruin my house. I don't want my house to be ruined. So let's go to your house and destroy your house, Ukraine. We're going to have our war there against Russia. That's how we'll do it. And then all the people that flee, they can't come to the UK. We can't do that. We have a partnership with Rwanda. So you're going to go to Rwanda. Like, this is the craziness that unfolds. Like, we're going to make a deal with these other countries in Africa that are also, by the way, being screwed by the war in Ukraine because of wheat, all of the all of the grains that are being crushed in the supply chain can't go to Africa. And so those people are being disproportionately hurt by this entire process.
Yes, there's no food there right now. Gas prices are really high, but sure, go there. The UK government is saying that anyone who goes there will be given up to 5 years training, including integration, accommodation, health care. But she would not specify the criteria for asylum, which is troubling because there are thousands of people that I want to say probably that's. I don't know the number specifically, but I do know that it is common for asylum seekers to be rejected and then go, I don't know where, right? And so they're saying if they jump through our hoops, which they have already jumped through hoops to A, survive, B, get their family across borders, C, apply for asylum inside the United Kingdom, and even then we are saying they may fail our test. But if they pass, we'll send you to Rwanda, right? At least, I don't know. The weather is probably better there than the UK. But this is just, it's absolutely astounding that no one is really sort of saying, but then why do Ukrainians get to jump the line? How many brown people get pushed back for Ukrainians to get, oh, where's the sense in this? Mm-hmm. This is not right.
Well, we even saw that in the United States. I mean, we, you know, like, oh, you're coming from Ukraine. I'm sorry, you're coming from Afghanistan. The United States says to those Afghan refugees, you know what we're going to do? We're going to route you outside of the United States right up to Canada. So don't even bother coming here. We're going to send you to Canada because, you know, even though we destroyed your country for 20 years, you can't come here. We're going to send you to another country. But Ukraine, come on over. Come on. If you're Ukrainian, come on in. Come on in. We're flying your flag. You know, we're flying your flag over our restaurants and all over the place. Everyone's got the Ukrainian flag. But if you're another person in any of these other war torn areas, forget about it.
I just find this press release so unconscionable, and the fact that, you know, they had it in Rwanda with Rwandan officials who are like, yes, we're happy to accept them, but we don't want anybody from neighboring countries. You have to have come from the UK. Why? I don't know. This is some kind of, what's that game where you have to, like, jump over obstacles and, like, hit people with foam while you're wearing a foam helmet?
Oh, like
Gladiator
American
battle.
Gladiators?
Yes,
yeah.
Like, this is what we want to prove to you.
Yeah.
So.
Unbelievable. Well, let us know your thoughts on that. We've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk coming up next about Congress is actually admitting. I mean, they've said the quiet part out loud and admitting why Americans don't get anything from their congressman. Like, you know, you elect a congressman and you think, oh, my God, this person's going to go to Washington and is going to vote for the things that I care about. No, they don't. They don't give a shit about you. And now we know exactly why that is. A congressman speaking out about that, we'll tell you about that. And President Biden's approval ratings are the worst he's ever had. We'll go into what's going on there.
All right, but first we're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Stamps.com. You know, time is money, and you should not waste your time with repeated trips to the post office. That is a drudgery. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Now, maybe think your small business is too small for time savers like that. Well, if you think that like that, you will always be small. You have to think big, right? Think about saving so that you can work on your business, not in your business. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you time and money in the process, so you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Stamps.com saves you time, money, and stress. Stamps.com has been indispensable for more than 20 years for over 1 million businesses. It gives you full access to the post office and UPS shipping services right from your computer, and all the discounts that you can't find anywhere else, like 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. Whether you're sending invoices, have a side hustle on Etsy, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a printer. No special supplies or equipment. You're up and running in minutes, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. So stop overpaying with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code REDACTED. That's the name of the show you are watching right now. REDACTED for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code REDACTED.
Well, if you've been watching our show for any length of time, you know that a big business runs Washington, D.C. That's right. They are bought and sold by, I know, you might be shocked to learn this, If you're new here, just be prepared to have your mind blown a little bit. They are bought and sold. When you elect a member of Congress or the Senate, they are bought and sold by corporate interests designed to do their bidding. I tweeted over the weekend that Republicans are likely to regain power very soon. President Biden is likely to lose this next election, and therefore Republicans will be in power. But make no mistake about it, both parties are corrupt, right? They are run by corporate lobbyists. That's it. We've known that for years, that when you elect a member of Congress, they don't vote for your interests at all. You wonder, like, why don't they vote for my interests? You know, I just elected that person. They vote in favor of what the lobbyists want. They're literally bought and sold. Well, now Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks was the victim of a hidden camera during a recent private speech over the weekend. During the speech, Mo Brooks told supporters that there is a system of corruption which actually prevents Congress from passing legislation that would actually benefit the average American. This is the way the system. He just let the cat out of the bag to this private group. Brooks said that both parties charge their members $1 million and beyond to be placed as a chairman on committees in Congress. And then only those who take donations from lobbyists can afford to buy the seats. He said special interest groups run Washington. And he said, I don't mean that metaphorically. He said, I mean it literally. So
you're not supposed to say that, but it's true.
So listen to some of this hidden camera footage. This is Mo Brooks with a hidden camera telling the truth.
Sure that y'all are very much concerned about why our Congress is so unresponsive to the regular needs of American citizens. Why some of these policies that come out are so bizarre, so unfair, so skewered against regular Jane and Joe citizens. The reason is simple. Special interest groups run Washington. And I don't mean that metaphorically, I mean literally. Now, here is how it happens. In the House of Representatives, I'll use that as an example because that's where I work. If you want to be chairman of a major committee, you have to purchase it. And the purchase price for a major committee, say like Ways and Means, minimum bid is $1 million. Now, I'm talking literally here. I'm not talking metaphorically, okay? We have committees broken down by A group, B group, and C group. C are the cheapest, B are the most are middling, A is the most expensive. It's the most expensive because those are the committees that the special interest groups care the most about. So where does a congressman come up with $1 million to be chairman of one of these A committees? You can't get it from Joe and Jane Citizen because Joe and Jane Citizen back home, they're not going to be contributing that kind of money. They don't have it. They need that money for their own families, okay? So let me finish. And so you have to get it from the special interest groups. And with the special interest groups, there is a quid pro quo. If you don't do what they tell you to do, they won't give you the money that finances your chairmanship. I had one guy who ran for chairman of the NRCC, which is where the Republicans pay their money for these committee assignments and chairmanships, just as the Democrats pay theirs to the DCCC. And this guy who wanted to be chair of the NRCC actually had a brochure. And that brochure had price listings written on it. And his argument for getting elected was, elect me, I will charge you less.
Can you believe that shit?
Yes, like, I can.
He has brochure. He knows how the game is played, this guy running. So he has brochures printed up that say, hey, elect me. I will do your bidding for you for this chairmanship, but I just won't charge you as much as the other guys will, so that you will buy me, you will buy my vote, and I will chair this committee. Okay. Meanwhile, he's a member of Congress. So he's a member of Congress already, but to get on this chairmanship spot, he then has to be paid by these special interests and then funnel it to the committee spots. That's how this works.
Well, in the book Republic Lost by law professor Lawrence Lessig, who did run for president specifically just to kill out this culture of lobbyists defending or paying into elected representatives to get their way, he points out that, let's say, a freshman congressman there or a congresswoman, their starting salary is in the $200 and $300 per year range, which sounds like a lot. It absolutely is for the average worker. But when you think about how much it costs to live and work in Washington, D.C., it actually isn't that much. Plus, they have to live and work in their elected district as well. And so a lot of times they do a full year, right, their first full term, and then realize, you know what, I could leave and be a lobbyist and make three times that much. A starting salary for a good lobbyist is in the $700,000 per year range. And then they realize I can still have access to all the same people that I knew when I was serving, and I can make a whole lot more money, and I can represent special interests. That's why they do it, right? It's a simple game of numbers.
Yeah.
Well, also, like getting, if you become a lobbyist, you actually get to write laws rather than just vote
sure.
on
them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, he admits, you know, and I wonder, I mean, he's running, you know, he's got the endorsement of Rand Paul right now and others. Like, you know, how do you win? He's going to be a rare voice. He's certainly not going to get a chairmanship. And it's like, you don't say this stuff. You just don't say this stuff out in public. Like, what's his name?
But if it's a simple bidding game, right? And someone says, hey, you know, I will represent your interest for X amount of dollars. Then you think about paying elected representatives X amount of dollars so that they don't do this. It's a hard pill to swallow because Congress is so odious. So nobody wants them to have higher salaries. But at the same time, when you look at a country like Singapore that has the highest salaries for politicians and has zero corruption, right?
Right. So it is interesting because, as he points out, those that can't afford to cough up $1 million in donations take donations from these special interest groups. So should we want our politicians to be wealthy? Should we want them? I mean, traditionally, that's kind of how they've been in the past anyway. They've been wealthy yeah. landowners, right?
Right.
So at the, you know, at the beginning of the United States. So, but he, as he points out, this is how public policy has become so corrupted. And this is what happens too, is that someone who's not upwardly mobile, who then becomes, you know, becomes like the star and becomes a congressperson, then they start to, you know, the money. Right. Because if they want to get some power, if they want to get committeeships, if they want to get on these different chairs, they're going to have to. Otherwise, they have no power. They're in Congress, but they don't get to vote. They're not on any committees. They don't get any laws written.
No, they only have a vote. And
if they don't toe the party line, by the way, they get kicked off committees. This yes. is, you know, this is what happens when you start to see people like AOC or, you know, other people who want to, you know, rise up, and then they're going to get threatened by getting kicked off of committees. This is what happens.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is certainly what happened with Liz Cheney, right? She speaks out against something. She gets yanked off of committees, almost gets stripped of all of her power. So then why is she even there?
Right. I mean, you have to, and this bleeds into our next story, because the next story is about how the Biden administration has decided to open up more oil and gas drilling leases. When Biden took office last year, he closed all those down, right? So why the change of heart? Is it because, do you think that it's because there is so much corporate interest inside Washington that took him to task, that lost out when he decided that he was going to cancel all of these leases?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, President Biden made all of these campaign promises.
About the environment.
About the environment. Many of them, of course, he's failed to keep. And by the way, many of these campaign promises that President Biden made could have been carried through or executed by executive order with the stroke of a pen. He doesn't even need Congress to enact almost all of his big campaign promises, by the way, with a simple executive action could be upheld. Yet he's failed to do so. And one of these big campaign promises centers around greenhouse gas emissions, the carbon footprint, the environment specifically. And specifically, he told Bernie supporters, by the way, like, come on and vote for me. Because I'm the environmental president.
I'll do what you hoped Bernie would do.
Right. I'm going to carry the torch for the environment And I'm not going to absolutely not open up additional oil drilling in the Gulf and any sort of additional federal lands to oil and gas drilling. But here you go.
Right. Just last week in the newsletter, we featured a story that 14 of the biggest 25 oil and gas companies or utility companies inside the United States are actively lobbying against climate change, right? Only five of them were acting on behalf of more policies that prevent climate change. The rest of them were fairly neutral, but a full 14 are working against changing their business model in order to save the planet. And that's allowed. That is right in line with the policy that we just talked about, right? So recall this sort of, like, let's just do a brief walk through history. When Biden was on the campaign trail, he promised the moon when it came to climate change. He admitted that it is the biggest crisis facing humanity right now. But when he took office, then he canceled all of those drilling leases. But then a federal judge later reinstated those leases. And then the administration went on to open up more leases in the Gulf of Mexico, literally just days after the president got back from the Paris climate. The climate conference that he went to in the fall last year, around November time, the one in Europe. So, you know, what about the environment? Well, I don't know. They're saying that we have an oil crisis. Gas is expensive. Well, so what about it? But the federal government is also giving itself, in opening up these new leases, a sweet little raise, because the royalty rate on these leases goes from 12.5% to 18.75%. These are royalties to the federal government. So in terms of like lobbying and money, Mother Nature did not offer a better deal. So she doesn't get a say.
Well, let's just kind of cut to the heart of all of this, which is like what President Biden is saying is that, you know, because we've got high gas prices, they're scrambling right now. They're like, you know, we've got high gas prices, or we open up the strategic national oil reserves to lower gas prices. Okay. We are going to allow this additional drilling to lower gas prices because this is Putin's price hike. If you have a brain, you know that that's a total lie. That opening up these additional oil drilling lands would not reap any kind of rewards for years to come. So it's a total lie.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry. It's the truth, Joe. But it absolutely is. So this garbage, you want to like get up there on the podium and pretend that you're doing everything you can to lower oil prices, but it's already going down. So oil prices, as we've shown over the past 4 weeks, has already been going down. So this is all political theater. Is he, you know, just taking lobbying money? Are they just from the oil and gas industry?
Well, I mean, look at this 6% royalty rate change. They're giving, the federal government is giving itself a raise had he kept the leases in place when he took office, they would have only made 12%, right? But canceling them and then reinstating them at a new rate, they gave themselves a 6% raise.
You know, and his boss, former President Barack Obama, was, you know, going to be the environmental president, yet he is the president that opened up the Gulf oil drilling, the deep water drilling, which of course was not, did not have the proper safety standards in place. And he kowtowed to political pressure. You know, you had, Sarah Palin at the time saying, drill, baby, drill, drill as much as you can. And so what did Obama do? He absolutely went along with it, even though he said he wasn't going to. And then he opened up deep water drilling. So you can blame what happened with the Gulf oil spill on Barack Obama. Lack of oversight, and then, of course, seafood devastated in that region, and that's been covered up and hidden. And we still are dealing with the repercussions of what happened with the Exxon Valdez. So this is not something you can just sweep away. I mean, ask the people who run businesses in those regions of the Gulf, like, how have they really been affected? And they're still finding all sorts of fossil fuels inside of these wildlife.
Yes, it's awful.
Killed off tens of thousands of dolphins. I mean, the list is endless how bad this has been for the environment. But go ahead, political posture all you want. And I think it's because he's grasping at straws right now because his administration is going down in flames. And this weekend, we had this unbelievable video on CNN. This is, I mean, I can't believe that I would actually say that this is CNN that did this segment. but CNN did a segment on President Biden's approval rating and how President Biden's approval rating is at the lowest in history for any U.S. president at this point in his presidency. Like, and people who are, you know, anti-Trump are going to be like, God, this is crazy. But this is CNN actually doing this reporting. Watch.
I want you to look. These numbers kind of differ. They range from the low 30s to the low 40s. Low 40s is not good either. But what's key is the lowest are tied for the low for the pollster. Lowest tier. Lowest tier. This is 1 point off the lowest. Lowest tier. And when you have three or four pollsters showing the lowest numbers for the president of the United States, that is indicative of a president who's in a lot of trouble, at least to where he is standing historically.
Well, let's talk about history here. How does Joe Biden, President Biden, compare to former President Trump in this stage of the presidency?
You know, there was always that thing, oh, Donald Trump has the lowest approval rating at this point in his presidency. We did it over and over and over and over again. Well, at this point in his presidency, Donald Trump's numbers, actually his average approval rating, is 1 point higher than Joe Biden's, which is at 41%, Donald Trump at 42%. A first-term president at this point in his presidency, this is the lowest. This is the lowest for anyone who was elected to the presidency and didn't get up there through the vice presidency. This is a really, really, really bad number.
Wow. Like, can you imagine the people at CNN like sitting there like in the control booth like, oh my God, we got to stop.
Are we saying this?
We got to stop this segment because, man, he's our guy. You know, Biden's our guy, you know, at CNN. And, of course, they did wall-to-wall coverage of how President Trump at the time, you know, lowest approval rating of any president. Yes. At this point, you heard it nonstop.
Well, he says in that video, we covered this nonstop.
Yeah.
About Trump.
And he admits.
And the other guy's like, well, let's keep that on the, is it time for your lunch break?
How can we help him? But by the way, I mean, you look at this. So the Biden administration right now is doing anything it can to save face. I mean, you know, there's a couple of things I did a video recently. I mean, there's a couple of things they could do, which is to open up and legalize cannabis, move that forward. The House just passed that last week. Like, get off your ass and actually pass something that could bring in record revenue of, you know, in tax revenue. Give an enormous number of new jobs to Americans in that sector. If he just with the stroke of a pen, he could do that. Student loan debt. There's so many things that this president could have done that he hasn't, and he's in deep shit. I mean, he's going to lose this election. Democrats are about to get their asses handed to them.
In the Noam Chomsky piece that we discussed earlier in the show, he does say when Trump reassumes power, he will do these things, which were not good things, right? But he doesn't have any faith in Biden doing good things. He doesn't think any of them will. He talks about how every leader in the United States has been basically a warmonger and out for blood and a sociopath, and it's kind of hard to argue with him about that, but he does fully predict that Trump will be back in power, and woof, it's gonna be murder. This next election is gonna be murder, guys. Buckle your seatbelt.
It's coming. That year off.
Yeah. I'm gonna do what Grover's doing.
Yep.
Like, just we'll sleep through that year because it's gonna be absolutely brutal. All right, I want to tell you about our friends over at Lumen Skin. All right, let's talk a little skincare, shall we, guys? Before we wrap things up for today, we get some of your super chats. If your skincare routine is basically you washing your face, men, don't do it. This is what men do. They, you know, they grab some random crappy shower gel that is filled with all kinds of chemicals, and they try to wash their face with it. Don't do it. It's time to level up that skincare game because, as it turns out, regular body wash you've been using that you thought was good enough for your skin is probably damaging your skin. But thanks to Lumen, you can drop that bottle of 3-in-1 and start using products that actually take care of your skin. That's right. With Lumen, I get the highest quality products. All their products aim to help with those with stubborn acne scars, under eye dark circles, wrinkles, sun damage, dry skin, oily skin, and more. Starting with Lumen is easy. All you have to do is take a 2-minute quiz on their website, and they'll tell you exactly which routine is best for you based on your skincare needs. All of Lumen's products come with instructions, so it's extremely easy and will help protect your skin from potential damage of future acne. Plus, all of their products are made using only natural ingredients that work, like licorice root extract, rose flower oil, charcoal powder, ginger, green tea, charcoal, all of it. Fantastic. Guys, I swear skincare shouldn't be that complicated and it shouldn't be the thing that we dread doing. Thanks to Lumen, it's simple. Takes me less than 90 seconds out of my day. I mean, it's really, really simple to use. Put the under eye cream on, like before you go to bed, right? This is something. This is something that the women do all the time. That's why their skin looks great, and men mostly look like crap. So don't do it anymore. Actually, a product that's made for men. Use it. I'm telling you.
I love charcoal masks. We do it. His and hers.
Level up your skincare game with Lumen Skin today. Go to lumenskin.com/redacted to get your free trial. Just try it for free. I'm telling you what. The first time I used this, I was like, this is amazing. Like, it really... Natalie's like, you look amazing. She's like, your eyes look so much better. yeah, that's Lumen, L-U-M-I-N, skin.com/redacted. Lumenskin.com/redacted to get your free trial of Lumen's products. Just try it. They'll send it to you for free. Just try it right now. Lumenskin.com/redacted. All right.
All right, do we have some super chats to wrap this up? I think we tried to get through them in real time, but
several of them here. We got here we go. Letitia M sent a $1.99 super chat. Said, "Hey David," that was just when David came in. And then of course we've got the from John Venturini $2 super chat, and it was $2 for the swear jar from when Clayton was having problems with his mouse.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, I was swearing a little bit.
He dropped an F bomb.
Yeah. Monique Butler drives me nuts. Yep.
Monique Butler with a 99-cent super chat. And then
Thank you.
We had this one that we showed. Problem is most people do not wear N95s correctly. They need to be fitted. That was from Robert Hoyt. And that is all of the super chats.
All right.
All right. Well, we want to remind you we're here every day, Monday through Thursday, at least, Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Thank you for subscribing. We got a couple thousand new subscribers over the weekend. Thank you, all of you truth seekers out there who are interested in the news. We are both journalists, longtime journalists, and really fed up and frustrated with...
Reformed journalists.
Reformed, yeah, with the way that the...
Open thinkers.
With the way that the news is presented in the world. Really sad about this censorship and what's happening. So that really, I think, brought us to action on this show.
Yeah.
You say?
Yeah. Where's your coaster?
I don't have a coaster. Thanks, everyone. Grover says thank you. Did David? I guess did David run out and go to the hospital or something?
Yeah, he dipped out about halfway through. His shoulder was killing him. He sent me a text.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a coaster. You have no respect for wood.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same bat time. Peace out, everyone. Thanks for subscribing.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.